Now, why don't you tell me what your father's name was before we forget?
My father's name was Al Traxton.
And he came from?
And what?
And where was it he came from?
He came from Missouri.
Yeah.
His father was Eben Traxton. They had a big farm. The Eben Traxton had a, well, they used to, people used to call it plantation. It was so big. His farmland was so big. And he didn't do any of the work, but he hired all the men in the vicinity, you know. And they would come in the morning and work, and they would go home at night. And, but he, about the house. Well, he had a big house, but I was thinking about my house after I married Lawrence Coffin, and his father, Lawrence Coffin's father and mother, were great friends of my father and mother, and they used to go back and forth, you know. And I went to Ricca, and so did Lawrence from town, and there were only a few students that went out of town to school. The most of them had to go up here to a high school which had only a man for a principal and a woman for an assistant. And of course down to Ricca, there was a beautiful building down there, but we had to live in the dormitory. And we could have dates, but we had to sit in the parlor, as they call it, the dormitory parlor. And the teachers were always running up and down the stairs and all around, you know, to see if we might hold hands.
Now, your father went to Ricca College, but it was called, what was it called then?
It wasn't college then, it was a Holton Academy. And it was really like Ricca. Now Ricca was called high school grade, but really you got college work in Ricca Classical Institute, because I got 4 years of Latin, 3 years of French, and a year of German.
When you were going to Ricca?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Yeah. And that is college level today. But of course they've taken those languages out of the schools, which I think, of course, the scientists, it's fine to take the science. I think we need the Latin, and I think we need good French. And here the French people picked it up by themselves at that time. They didn't speak good French, you know, the Parisian French or what we call good French. And they couldn't write it. The French couldn't write their own language then, because it was not clear. Mm-hmm. But the French that I took down there was good French, and I could write it. But I didn't take conversational French, so I couldn't speak it fast enough. Mm-hmm. But when I went away to school, I took the Parisian French a while. But that was so fast. Oh, they spoke so fast that I couldn't understand the French. because I've never spoken French here. And so I got the French, the Persian French after a while, but I could write it. I could write letters in French because I could take my time, and I had good French.
Now, how long did you go with your husband before you got married?
Well, now let me see. My husband's mother died when he was 8 years old. But his father was a scaler. And of course he had to go into the woods to scale lumber. And he had a good job and a good paying position, of course. And they had to have housekeepers for the children, look after the children, and they could most always get some nice girl or woman from around here to go and take care of the children. And so as I say, my husband had to live with a housekeeper, don't you know, to look after him. And he got a position in the hardware store. And he worked in the hardware store for years. Now, I remember that the railway trains came in here then. And that was the only way I had of getting down to Ripper and back, come on the train. And I would have to miss a lot of school if I came very often, because I would have to come on the train on a Friday, and I'd have to miss my school at Friday. And we would, sometimes we call it in the restroom, and then I would have Saturday and Sunday. And then I had to go back on Monday.
So you missed Friday and you missed Monday?
Yes, yeah, I missed Friday and I missed Monday. And of course, I didn't want to do that. So we used to have to stay down there. My sister and I would have to stay there a whole term, you might say, without coming home, although we did. The first term, I was very homesick, and so was my sister. We were in the habit of having our horses, you know, and being free and all, and then the dormitory food, my sister didn't like it, but I had a good appetite, and I could eat it, and I didn't complain, but most of them, they complained of the dormitory food, you know, and but my mother used to send us, she used to send packages of food down to us. I remember she sent food and homemade bread and donuts and cake and fruit cake and things like that. So we got along all night, but a great many of them didn't care, you know, they didn't care, they came from homes that they didn't have too much anyway, and that we always had so much to eat, and fruit. I know we always had oranges and lemons and things like that in the house, you know, and
and you went to Ripper 4 years.
I went 3 years.
And then you went to Boston.
I graduated from Ripper, yeah. But my freshman year, I took at home the teacher boarded at my home. And she taught my sister and me the first year out. And she did that in the evening. And so we got the first year Latin here, and let's see, I got the English. I got the other studies through the teacher. And the teacher, in order to get a good teacher here, she said that she would room a board for other one with bathroom. And we were the only ones that had a bathroom out in the country. And the next bathroom was down here where the doctor lived. And then the only telephone, my father had the telephone. And the nearest telephone was the doctor's telephone.
Yeah, you were the only one outside of town.
They started putting up the poles for the telephone, and then when they got to my father, they stopped.
I don't know what year that was.
That must have been 1900. I should, if I had time to think it out, I probably would remember. But people used our telephone if they wanted a doctor, because that was the only person they could telephone to anyway.
Yeah,
was a doctor downtown. And if they needed a doctor, they were perfectly free to. Oh, welcome to come in and use our telephone and call a doctor. But it was the only telephone for years.
Tell me about the road. Now, this is when you were a girl at home. The road from here to Presque Isle, was it just the back road at that time? What we call the Frenchville Road?
Now? Yeah, the Frenchville Road.
And that was the only one?
That was the only road for years. And that was rough, too. It was very rough. And the roads were rough here. There were little stones, you know. It was a dirt road. And as you go along, the wheels would pick up the little rocks, you know. And you'd hear them hit the carriage, you know, wagon. And then the dust would roll up behind.
Now, did you have wooden sidewalks then? Did you have sidewalks?
Sidewalks? It seemed to me that we did have one or two planks, you know. They weren't too solid, but we had what they call sidewalks, but they were just these planks, yeah. And they were too solid.
Because it must have been pretty muddy here in the springtime. You would have had to have something.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. It was muddy in the summer.
Well, didn't they ever get stuck in the main road in the spring when it was all muddy? Didn't the horse and wagon get stuck? Did they ever have any trouble?
Well, I don't remember what they did. Well, the dirt roads had the ditches, you know, the roads, the water would run off into the ditches, more or less.
Now, tell me about your years in Boston. How long did you go to the Boston Conservatory of Music?
How long did I? Well, I went to the conservatory first, and we had to pay quite a bit of money in advance. And so I stayed until that was used up. And I didn't pay in advance after that because my uncle was Isaac Trafton, was ill, and he was getting very lonesome, and he wanted some home. And he had a wife and a baby here in Massachusetts. And he perceived that he wasn't getting too well, and he'd have to stay there a long time. So so that he wouldn't be so homesick, I said, well, Uncle Ike, any time when you want to go home, you just let me know, and I will go home with you. And so that made him happier. He was more content. And for that reason, I didn't pay the conservatory in advance for more lessons right there. But I went to a private teacher, and I could pay each time that I went, when I went for my lesson. Of course, I didn't pay in advance, but if I couldn't go take my lesson, I would have to let her know or pay for it. And so in that way, I had to pay quite a bit more for my lessons, in private lessons. And I really liked them.
Yeah.
I liked them. Although I had a wonderful teacher at the conservatory. Every year they gave a gold medal to the student who did the most work and the best work. And my teacher is the one who got the gold medal 4 years before that. And there was a woman who had a great deal of money, and she realized that he had talent. So she asked him if he would travel in Europe, because she was old enough to be his mother. And she said she would go with him and take him around Europe, you know, take him to Paris too, and different places. He would be her protege. And so when he came back, he taught in the conservatory, and when I went there, they asked me who I wanted for a teacher, and I said, well, I want a teacher who will teach me expression, and not just, the keys on the piano, but I want to, because I have studied quite a bit before that, so I could play quite well for a youngster. And so they said, well, we'll take you to the different teachers and you can observe. So they took me to one man. He was quite an old man, and I guess he was a good teacher and would have taught. I could have learned a lot from him, but after we went out from there, I said, well, he doesn't teach expression. I want expression. And so this man who was taking me around, he said, I know what you want. He said, I want to take you into a certain teacher. He says he never sits down. He just goes around and says he's full of expression. Well, so he said, this man who had charged, he said, I know what you want. So he took me in to this room, and we sat our steward in one end of the room. And this man, as a teacher, he just walked all the time. He walked around and he looked down at the pupil he had on the piano stool. And he was scowled and all that. If she made a mistake or the expression wasn't just as he wanted it. So when we went out from that one, I said, that's what I want. I want someone that will scowl if my expression didn't do it. And so they found out that he would take me. And I enjoyed my music very much because he never sat down. He would just walk around and he would almost hum what I was supposed to play. And he expected me almost to believe that in sight, you know. And it was a little nerve-wracking at first, but I got used to it and I found that I'd learned an awful lot from him. And then, as I say, I had to go to this private teacher. Unless I would pay in advance. Well, of course, I didn't want to pay a lot in advance and then have to come home with my ankle. And I went to a private teacher, and but I found that I advanced, but not the same as I did with the.
Then you came back here and you started teaching right off?
And then I kept going back and forth to school, you know, to Boston. I was trying to think about Lawrence. You said you want to know about how Lawrence ended it. We had gone up together. We had been in Russia together. And, a funny thing about it was that I had a girlfriend in Russia. She was a lawyer's daughter, Lawyer Shaw's daughter. She was a very pretty girl and talented. She used to study every summer, elocution and piano and everything. And during the winter, she was my chum. And so I had her up here visiting me. And she knew Lawrence down there in Rica. And so I invited Lawrence up to see her. and Lawrence went out with us, you know, when my sister and I had this girl, this Nessun. And as I say, we used to invite Lawrence, and we would invite other youngsters, you know, young men, to be with us, to go to the dances and everything. And that's the way that Lawrence and I seem to get back together again, you know. I invited him in to see my company. And he kept on coming to see me. And I was trying to think, oh yes, and he wrote to me. I can remember Ivy here especially with a he wrote to me and a lot, but he asked if he could write to me. And I said, for sure. So he kept writing to me and writing to me, and I would answer. And did I say that when I came home on the train one time, that my mother called him up and said that I was coming a day early, and there wasn't anyone at home to come and meet me, and asked him if he would meet me at the station.
Oh, yeah.
Did I say that?
No.
And so he met me at the station, and took me out home to my home, and then I had a friend here in town. I shouldn't be telling all of this. I'm getting away from the story. I had a boyfriend here in town, and then he thought he was my boyfriend. And he asked us if he would take him and out to my home so he could go out and see me. And Lawrence said yes. So Lawrence and my sister, they fooled around together, you know. And this boyfriend came out to see me. He was a boy from Texas. And he came up to me, and as I said, Lawrence brought him out. Well, then after that, I wasn't too crazy about him anyway, but Lawrence kept on coming out to see me instead of my sister. Boston in September, and he asked if he could write to me, and I said yes, but he kept on writing to me, and well, I guess before I went away, he proposed. That was it. He proposed in September, and during the conversation, when he asked me when we could be married, I said, oh, 2 or 3 years from now. It was kind of surprising. Then he asked me to sit today. And I said, oh, 2 or 3 years from now, because I was, I was only 20, and I thought I was so young, you know. And I didn't think anyone ought to get married before they were 23 or 4 years old, you know. And I said, oh, this is what I remember that point. Or was it 2 or 3 years after that? Well, but no, because he kept writing to me. And every time I come home, you see, he would come to see me, and as he wrote me, he kept mentioning, you know, well, hopefully we could keep in touch such a day. and sometimes I do make mass for that. My birthday was in July, and I wanted to be married in June, so I would be 21 in July, but I wanted to be married in June. I was 21.
So you didn't wait 2-3 years, huh?
No, we didn't wait 2-3 years, but I really thought that I would give up my music, you know. I wanted my freedom. But, as I say, his mother had died when he was a young boy, and he had an aunt who ran the hotel, and she was a second mother to him. She was a lovely person, and he used to go in there to eat. You know, he took his meals in there. He paid his board in there at the hotel. I saw the picture of that hotel just the other day. It burned, of course, like everything else. It was burned. But this was a big old hotel. And his aunt, as I say, ran the hotel, and she was a wonderful cook. And so I told him that when the one that he married before 2 or 3 years, I said, when you're eating your Aunt Mary's cooking, and I said, it would take me years to learn to cook like that, I said, you must eat it the whole family. But my mother was a wonderful cook. Of course, we couldn't go out and buy things the way we can today, you know, things that were cooked. And I had to cook everything, but I was, that's all I had to do was keep house and cook. I didn't have any children, so, let's see, it was almost 5 years before I had my first baby. So, my son up there, Louis, he wasn't born until February, and before June. It was 5 years in June that I had been married, when he was born in February, the 15th day of February.
So did you must have turned into a pretty good cook.
Well, I tried anyway. But my mother was a good cook, and was an excellent cook, and I remember